Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Mammoth, Whoopi Van Halen's new one. And we're talking to
Mom.
His mom, yeah. Exactly.
Right. Actor, author, mom, TV host, Golden Globe winner, Daytime Emmy Award winner, Valerie Bertinelli joins
us. Thanks for phoning, Valerie. Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Good morning.
I don't know if you heard your son's music there. I know you hear it every day. Congratulations. He's a brilliant musician and a great guitar player. That's very cool. Yeah.
I could not agree with you more.
Where do you figure he gets that from?
Yeah.
I have no idea. It's kind of amazing. It just showed up out of nowhere.
Did you ever have any musical talent?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh God, no. Ed tried to teach me, you know, a couple of songs on the piano, or I actually took piano lessons from a nun way back when, and he tried to teach me something on guitar, and I just no. I like to sing in the shower. That's about it.
Okay.
We're in the car.
It's tough, isn't it?
Well, I
did the band and the piano lessons, and it's very frustrating if you don't have any natural talent.
Well, you're learning from Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
You're learning from Eddie Van Halen. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. You're not going to be able to play like Eddie Van Halen. Valerie, we're big fans. We're the two hosts here are right in your wheelhouse age-wise, so we've been following your career for years and love your work. I loved you since One Day at a Time, and congratulations on the new book. Enough already.
Thank
learning
you.
The way I am today. And sorry about all the pain you've gone through recently. We're really sorry about that.
And if it doesn't make you too sad, could you tell us a Betty White story? You were her co-star and her friend for a long time.
It doesn't make me sad because I feel like she's in, I mean, it's always sad for us left behind,
sure.
But she's in a better place. She's with Alan. She's with probably all the pets that she's had throughout her lifetime. And I'm just, it makes me happy that she's in a really beautiful place right now. I mean, we all miss her.
Yeah.
She was a phenomenal, one-of-a-kind human being. But I'm happy for her.
Is it tough writing a memoir about your life and, going through the pain and everything else you had to go through and putting it out there?
Well, it is in a way because I treated it like my journaling and just getting my feelings out, and that was very cathartic. And then when it came to like, oh, my publisher and my editor has to read this, and now I have to like let it go. That was the scary part. But the response has been really phenomenal. I'm glad it's resonating with so many people.
I saw a clip on Instagram where you were doing the audiobook, and you kind of broke down. Did you break down more than once while you were doing that?
Oh, my, it's 3.5 days of crying trying to read that book out loud. Yeah, because you just go through it all over again.
Do the publishers want you, when they read a first draft, they say you got to throw some more salacious stuff in, or they just trust you to talk about your stuff, your life?
No, not at all. I have a wonderful editor and publisher, and there was a few things where I was like, I really want to edit some of this a little bit stronger, and they're like, you know what? I think it'll be helpful for people to read this, and so I sat with it, and they were right, and I'm glad I left in what I left in, but I also passed a few passages through Wolfie because I wanted to make sure that he was comfortable with the way I was speaking about him and his father, and he was fine with it.
Okay, that'd be it. Oh, speaking of his dad, did anybody ever ask you this question? They probably did back in the day, and we never interviewed you before. Maybe we have once before. I think we have. But did you like rock music when you met Eddie? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know who they were. My brothers introduced me to them.
All right.
I was more Elton John and Linda Ronstadt and more like that back then. But I heard them, I was blown away by them.
Well, yeah, obviously they changed music. I get that, but they changed music. And your husband, I mean your ex-husband, obviously your late husband, changed music. So, mm-hmm. but so you end up being a fan right away, right?
Oh, right away.
Okay.
Right away. And then I saw Ed's picture, and I was like, oh, well, he's cute.
That's all it took?
Yeah, you got that for sure.
Yeah.
Valerie Bertinelli, Enough Already, Learning to Love the Way I Am Today is the name of the memoir. You also, there's some recipes in this?
There are. Okay. It's really a slice of my life, and I was hoping that people could, bring themselves into it and identify with it. And I also wanted to keep my love for food alive because it's so important to me. And that's why I just don't want to deny myself any longer.
And
I think that's fine. I think we are all lovable the way we are right now today.
Are we going to see a new season of Valerie's Home Cooking?
We are. I'm meeting with my culinary producer next week, and we're going to start going through recipes again.
And what does one have to do to get invited to Valerie's Home Cooking?
You're in the audience? You're in the audience? People, well, okay,
oh, yeah, no, it's mostly your friends, is
okay.
it not?
Oh, well.
Yeah, we do a lot with people that I'm already friends with. And I do a lot of solo shows, too, because the fun part for me is just really showing people technique and how to make a certain dish and how easy it is. I want people to not be afraid of cooking and getting into the kitchen and just being creative.
You mentioned your son there a couple of times, and so did we. We played some of the music from Wolfie there. Do you go see many of his live shows when you can?
Are you kidding me?
I know you are, but is he like, Mom, you going to that one again? You're going to be off to the side. Yeah.
No, listen, after the last show that they opened for Guns N' Roses,
right.
Of course I was on stage with my ears in, and I was listening to everything, and I rode on the bus back with them, because Wolfie doesn't like to fly.
Okay.
So I rode on the bus for 2.5 days with them and the band.
Has that kind of killed the vibe?
Are you fun?
I mean, listen. I know you're Valerie. Hey, to us, you're Valerie Bertinelli, but to Wolfie, you're his mom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love his bandmates. They're really terrific young men, and I get along with them. And we had a great time watching movies, and I had a middle bunk, so it was
okay.
fun.
Well, your mom's coming on the bus again, Wolfie.
I know. It's terrible, isn't it? But I can't help myself.
Well, I love that. That is so cool. Valerie Bertinelli, once again, the book is called Enough Already, Learning to Love the Way I Am Today, and available everywhere, right?
Obviously. Yes, everywhere.
And audio and everything like that. Are you doing any more acting in the future?
I am. Okay. I am shooting a pilot with Demi Lovato in a month and a half.
Oh, yeah? What's it called?
Yeah, it's called Hungry. It's about a more along the same lines. It's by the same woman who wrote Hot in Cleveland, Suzanne Martin. She's very smart,
okay.
very witty, and I'm really excited to get started on it. She wrote this really wonderful show for Demi called Hungry, and it's about diet culture and loving your body the way you are today. Everything I'm all about.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks a lot for having fun with us. We appreciate it, and good luck with the book and in the future, Valerie. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. Have a great morning, guys.
Bye now.
Valerie Bertinelli. Yeah, I once again, hey, your mom's on the bus. You know, we got some ladies we want to invite on the bus.
Yeah.
Right.
Probably puts a damper on the the Coke and whores bit.
Yeah,
of,
I'm not sure if there's a bunch of Coke on there, but there's definitely some boozing and some chicks,
yeah.
you know.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll, and your mom on the bus.
Oh, your mom's on the bus.
Yeah, but if you had to have a band mom on the bus.
Still
she's
a mom.
Probably you're pretty
still
cool.
A
yeah,
mom.
Yeah, still yeah. a mom.
Still
right.
a mom. I mean, we're excited. Hey, is your mom coming on the bus?
I bet you there was at least one or two guys in the band that were like, hey, how you doing? You know, your mom.
Still his mom.
Yeah. Out of Cleveland this morning, we get some images from our buddy Craig Peters, who has gone out apparently in the front yard and done some snow sculptures.
All right.
And this one is supposed to be of us. But his neighbor thinks it's Loggins and Messina.
So, well, I can see that.
Right, if you want to post those up, they're actually pretty nice sculptures, and I don't believe they look anything like us.
I don't believe he did them.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't think
is
so?
Is he that good? He's a pretty good artist.
Yeah, I bet you he did.
Did he? I thought he just stole, he saw these online somewhere and sent them over.
No, no, he sent me the image, and I said, I replied to him, I said, you do that? And he said, yes.
Oh, okay.
So that's his handiwork.
He is at a new level of boredom.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see people driving by seeing him do that.
Once again, we know one thing about Craig Peters. He doesn't care.
No. No, not at all.
None to give.
None to give. Valerie Bertinelli, it was fun. All right, check it out if you missed out on the podcast.
And the book.
And the book, right?
Enough already.
Right. Once again, I don't care who you are, Eddie Van Halen saying, no, you got to move your finger here, move your finger. Forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You do.
I'm talking
better about
playing guitar there, by the way.
Sure.
Wolfie seems to have.
But he was had that built in.
Yeah.
You know, she apparently did not have the talent built in.
He grew up in that. I mean, the kid's legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you could teach yourself to be a really talented musician.
Much
of that is innate.
Is your mom coming on tour with us next time?
I think if I read correctly on the album, he played all the instruments.
Yeah, I did too.
He just recorded the thing on his own.
I think you're right.
Of course, he was, you know, touring with Van Halen at like 17.
Yeah,
so.
That's a good point. We saw him. Yeah. We saw that tour. Yeah, that's true. What's up, Craig?
Well, you know, we've got that Tommy Lee, Pam Anderson series coming up. The upcoming Pam and Tommy series.
Looking
documenting the story of the stolen sex tape.
That's going to be good.
Yeah, In the series, Tommy Lee's penis has dialogue.
Yeah, there's a guy who voices Tommy Lee's penis. This is live action, right?
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah, there's
actors. So does an animated penis pop up and
talk?
Or just a voice?
It is.
Okay.
You just hear it talk.
No, it's animated.
Yeah. I mean, do you actually get to see the penis?
And the guy who's
or
voicing
an animated version of the penis?
You would recognize the guy who's voicing it. His name's Jason Mantzoukas.
Yeah.
He was in The League and a bunch of other stuff.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Good Place.
Yeah, as soon as you see him, you go, oh, I know that guy.
Right, I recognize him.
The penis shares dialogue with Tommy Lee upon first meeting and falling in love with Pam Anderson. According to the article, Lee's penis shows up in episode 2 to have a discussion with Tommy Lee after he just met Pam Anderson. The so-called discussion was actually detailed in Tommy Lee's book, Tommy Land. Tommy wondering if maybe he's actually falling in love with this girl and consulting.
Oh, okay.
Well, your
his
penis is that big.
Conversation with
penis.
Sure. When your penis is that big, you pretty much do have a conversation with him.
They actually built a fully animatronic penis.
Oh, so it's...
They built a fully animatronic penis to bring the scene to life.
It's not a cartoon.
The script writer...
Is this Hulu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When's
it
start?
February 2nd.
All right.
Yeah, real soon.
I'm all over that.
The script writer, Robert Siegel... Scriptwriter Robert Siegel, you might remember him.
Oh, yeah.
Said there was gentle pushback because, you know, you got to push back a little when a talking penis is presented to you. Hulu was extremely supportive, he said.
With one the size of Tommy's, you got to be gentle, too.
Well, the movie's about a sex tape, so why not? I mean, it's basically.
The director and executive producer, Craig Gillespie, told Variety that shooting that scene was awkward. He says, you've got four puppeteers working with an animatronic penis. And then, how much is too much? You start to lose this emotional torment of what's going on?
The whole thing's a bit much.
The actor portraying Tommy Lee, Sebastian Stan, said by the end of it, he treated it like it was an intimate buddy conversation that one might have when they're falling in love.
Yeah, but
I really can't picture how this is going to work until I see the movie, so I'm anxious.
The other stuff that went on in that video, Tommy Lee's penis was the star of that video.
Beep the horn.
Certainly the most commented thing.
You're beeping a boat horn with it. It's big.
This whole thing is why it's great. It's on Hulu.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Yeah.
The series will also explore the aftermath of the tape getting leaked and the differing public reactions received by Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee. Of course, Pam Anderson doesn't come out well in the public sentiment the time.
If it had happened today, they'd be millionaires as a result of this.
It's no big deal today, right?
No, it's not.
No.
It actually opens
doors.
But
at the time, she had to go through a lot of crap.
Right.
Because it wasn't.
And we can say, it's fine now. But she had a lot of crap to go through.
It was hardly mainstream then. It is now.
In large part because their tape was released.
Yes.
Hers being released made it easier for Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton and all these
and
others.
A couple people in the Villisca Axe House.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Made it easier for everybody.
Heard that.
Sorry, couldn't stop that one.
Oh. You're not.
That wasn't
and
a
you
chair.
Could have.
No.
That came out of you?
Yeah, that came out of me, brother.
I thought for sure it was something mechanical.
Oh, I saw him lean.
It's my talking ass.
It's animatronic.
Yeah.
Are you the voice of your ass? You probably should.
Yeah, I think I am.
Makes sense.
Much. I'm pretty much, yeah.
That'd be stupid.
Has somebody else voice my ass, sir? Right?
In the role of Tyler's ass.
Yeah.
Somebody else?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach Bruce Arians being fined by the NFL for slapping the helmet of one of his players.
I saw it. It was kind of weird. It was kind of a weird slap.
He hit Andrew Adams during Sunday's NFC wildcard playoff game. The coach said he was trying to keep Adams from getting a penalty for pulling Eagles players off the pile following a punt that the Bucs recovered.
Yeah, he wasn't mad at him.
It didn't
did
seem that malicious.
No.
But I guess you can't.
He was just trying to get his attention. Hey, get out of here.
Hit players in the
You're
head.
About to get thrown out. Arians said he didn't think he did anything wrong. He's going to appeal a $50,000 fine that he was given by the NFL. He was seen slapping the helmet hard with an open hand and then elbowing him after he was trying to pull a player out of a pile.
They should ask the player if he wants to prosecute.
Yeah.
No, he wants to.
You want to pursue charges?
He wants to stay on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do they do with the fine money?
I don't know. The beer money, I guess, you know, snacks. For the NFL offices.
Lunch.
They buy cases.
And we got an extra $50,000.
It could be a charity.
Yeah, sure.
Because they have to do charity stuff.
That's probably what it is.
Or they buy stuff for the break room.
Yeah, right. It's not $50,000 worth of wings.
Right. Big party at the end of the season.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh, this is a kind of a surprise. A new CDC study shows that vaccination protects against hospitalization far more effectively than prior infection.
Yeah.
We're all surprised
by that. Yeah, get a vaccine, you dumbasses.
Shocking.
Absolutely.
Is there anything you can say to anyone who's vaccine hesitant now? No. I don't think so.
No, in fact, they're digging their heels in.
Yeah.
So I don't care about them. Never did. Don't hang with them. If I know.
Right.
If I know, I don't hang with them.
Hey, tell
I know. I know a few. And I don't
keep on chugging that urine.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Never stop chugging that urine.
Never stop.
People
and I'm not
asked,
sorry that I have no compassion for these people.
I don't either. Don't care.
I mean, a medical condition, a kid.
That's different. Yeah.
That's totally different.
Yeah, right.
But if you have a choice, if you can make society better, and you don't, I got no compassion for you.
And you have to be able to read in order to help make society better.
Yeah, they're like 45-year-olds.
You have to actually read.
I think they're like three guys in their 40s. Three people in their 40s died here yesterday. In our county, unvaccinated.
Of course they were.
Yeah.
Don't just look at memes. Actually read.
To the bottom, like Craig.
They don't do that, Todd. Craig, they don't do that.
All the way to the bottom.
Some of that actual research stuff, the scientific papers you pull up, they're kind of hard to understand.
That's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about everyday average articles.
Right. Well, there are people who take those research articles and then summarize them and pass them on, you know, in terms
specific.
No, we're not.
No, we're not talking research articles. We're talking mainstream news.
Right.
Yeah, but people don't trust the mainstream news.
Everybody on Fox is vaccinated and boosted.
Yeah,
to work
exactly.
There. To work there.
Because they've been trained not to trust the mainstream media.
Because they're dumb.
Yeah. And, again, they're getting their information not from actual media.
Right.
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying, how do you get through to them?
You don't. We don't. Don't care.
And perhaps
you waste
in the
your time
afterlife.
Trying. Yep. You waste your time trying.
Maybe you show them your research. Yep.
So people say that they have a bad boss, and many people say they quit because of bad bosses. People say, or it is said, I should say, that people don't quit their jobs, they quit bad bosses.
Yeah, I believe that.
Not true. I mean, sometimes they quit their job. I mean, you know, maybe you haven't had a raise in 100 years or something like that.
A lot of times a bad job comes with a bad boss.
And you feel like, you know, people don't care. You haven't had a raise in 10 years.
I call it anti-work. And about 80% of it is my boss is a dick. And that's why these people are quitting.
And so people were asked why that if they quit over a bad boss, what was actually going on? Why did they quit because of that bad boss? And most people by far, 75% of the people said, it's just because of the demeaning comments.
Oh, demeaning, yeah.
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 Just little slights, these stupid people who have somehow gotten a supervisory position now have to feel like they are superior. And in order to do that, the way some people feel superior is to make other people feel less important.
Funny part is, you know, not necessarily the guys that we don't sign the paychecks, we have nothing to do with that crap, but that stuff. But like technically, Puss and works for us, and we bang his mom. I mean, our job is completely different because we just rip each other personally.
It's
all
a healthy relationship.
All morning long, we rip. I don't really actually bang his mom. We say we bang his mom, but we actually rip each other every day.
He bangs goats. His mom.
And after that's done, we never demean each other.
Yeah, after that.
Punch the mic. But the mics are off. We don't demean each other at all.
Yeah, you demean us back. You yell at us all the time.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but the employees are supposed to demean all the boss. Time.
Oh, that's true. But not to their faces. Jim sucks. Play blackout.
What do you know
he's
about
our boss. We say he sucks on the air to thousands of people. And he just texts us, hey, you guys, what's up today?
You know about it, buckethead.
Thank you. Thank you, Puss.
I recall him disparaging Nick in a text chain recently.
So yeah, he did.
He's not completely innocent.
Right, right.
No. Well, he sucks.
Well, that's why that chain. The one with Jim, I'm starting to do more on that one because he needs his guy time.
Yeah. Yeah, but every time we do that, he ends up being regretting that he was there.
I know he goes.
Regretting that he was on that.
Well, it always goes down a rabbit hole he didn't want
to
be in.
No, he has no desire to be in the holes that we're in.
He's a little more uncomfortable with our holes.
Great. It's an occupational hazard.
It is.
Yeah, that's how we test him.
Right.
I texted him yesterday and I said, on HD2 in our town, Z92's HD2 signal, it's our show all day long. And I was listening yesterday. There's a promo. Scott Frost brings the Huskers into Oklahoma. And I texted him that. I said, that's still running. And I said, don't worry, Nick. They still lose.
I don't know.
No,
he doesn't believe you.
They were going to take it and modify it a little bit.
No, they still
lose. That's what I would do. Take it, edit it up a little
bit.
Apparently,
it's a ghost in the machine that runs on HD2 once in a while, that promo. I've heard it a couple of times. All right. Jim sucks. Play blackout. Call back.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler, and our podcasts now are easier than ever to find.
Just download the iHeartRadio app and search Todd and Tyler.